Happy, Healthy, Hopeful podcast. I'm your host, Mariam, health promoter at the Bulimia Anorexia Nervosa Association here in Windsor, Ontario. I'm thrilled to be here with you as we begin our journey of meaningful conversations about mental health, self-acceptance, and the path to wellness. Today, I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Melissa Tarr. Melissa is a passionate recreation therapist and the owner of Embrace Rec. She specializes in creating person-centered programs that enhance well-being through therapeutic recreation, art, sports, and mindfulness. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you so much for having me here.
I am so happy to have you here. Can you start by explaining what recreational therapy even is and how it differs from other therapeutic approaches?
Absolutely. First off, let's just say that recreation therapy is super cool and it's fun and it's different. So recreational therapy is a unique approach that uses leisure and recreation activities that you already love to improve your well-being. And we're working with people who have illnesses, disabilities, and other limitations. It's a little different than your traditional form that kind of works with your physical and mental issues. Recreational therapy takes a very holistic approach. It aims to enhance not just your physical functioning, but also we really do emphasize on your emotional, your cognitive, and your spiritual well-being. So we want the whole person, okay? What sets recreational therapy apart is it uses enjoyable activities like sports, outdoor activities, animals, music, adventure therapy, that one's pretty fun. If I can get you out in a kayak and get you doing some stuff, it's really, really enjoyable. This makes the process more engaging and often more appealing to patients. And what's really cool is it's often not in a hospital. I, for my company, I'm out in the community with you. I'm in a kayak, I'm rock climbing, I'm doing arts and crafts right beside you because I'm measuring what you're doing to make sure that this evidence-based practice is being supported and you're getting the outcomes that you want, okay? Another key difference is simply that we're helping people to develop skills to be independent, okay? And promoting long-term well-being and quality of life.
You weren't kidding when you said it sounds really cool. I think adventure therapy especially sounds super cool. Could you share some examples of activities you use in your practice that help clients build a positive relationships with themselves and their bodies?
I have so many, and it all kind of depends on the individual that I'm working with because it's very customized to what their leisure interests are. I've done everything from sparring and boxing to rock climbing to sometimes I'm doing an art and craft to help somebody with their emotional regulation. I could be doing yoga, I could be bringing a therapy dog, I can be doing a different example would be walking the riverfront. There's just so many different things I can do, but it's based on what that person is already interested in. And then the group work we do, we'll find people that are like-minded, that have similarities in their well-being, and then we'll create a program for them to address that and watch them grow into who they're meant to be.
That's really awesome. So it sounds like you tend to meet people where they're at and work with that, yeah?
Absolutely. And it's just the greatest joy when people come back and they really express the gratitude of this new type of therapy that isn't very well known in Windsor.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do recreational therapies help in building self-esteem and body positivity?
Excellent question. This allows us to delve deeper into the therapeutic benefits of recreational therapy, especially for individuals struggling with body image. So it's just, you know, one of the things when it comes to somebody who's struggling with body image, we need self-esteem and body positivity, particularly for individuals with body dysmorphia or eating disorders. So we try to work on shifting focus on people. So recreation activities help redirect attention from appearance to function and enjoyment. For someone with body dysmorphia, engaging in a sport or a dance can help them appreciate what their body can do rather than how it looks. For a positive experiences, achieving goals in recreation activities, whether it's learning a new skill or improving performance, that'll boost your esteem. And it really does counteract that negative self-perception that most people with eating disorders really struggle with. It does social connections too. When you're in a group and you're feeling that peer support, that's so empowering for especially people with eating disorders. So I just really love all of the activities we do. Our mindfulness activities are incredible for people with eating disorders, and it's more of that balanced relationship with their bodies and food. So any way that we can customize a program to build the self-esteem and confidence in our individual clients is phenomenal.
You know, I think that's really amazing because even in our presentations that we do for BANA, we will talk about appreciating the function of your body, mm-hmm. appreciating that your legs can help you walk, that your arms can help you hug the people that you love, even that your hands can help you lift up your water bottle to keep you hydrated.
Absolutely.
And I absolutely love that that's a big part of what you do and reinforce in your clients. So how do you adapt recreational therapy techniques to fit different cultural backgrounds and personal interests?
Adapting recreational therapy techniques to fit different cultures, you know what? The key is flexibility, curiosity, and respectfulness. We are in a very multicultural society, and sometimes it's being very aware of the differences. You can't just have a one-shoe-fits-all mentality. You need to look back at the history of a person. What activities, what cultural things are they comfortable with? And you need to be kind and compassionate and patient. Those are very key in building that rapport with people and showing them that although there may be differences in how we play, the main model is playing and learning and growing together. So flexibility with activity selection, setting culturally relevant goals, that's huge. Like, we set therapeutic goals that align with the client's cultural values and personal aspirations. And then just having adaptable techniques and making sure that we really hone in on that person.
So what's an example of a culturally relevant goal?
A culturally relevant goal is if I have somebody, for instance, that is Muslim and they have certain time periods where prayer is very important. And we might be in the middle of an activity, but understanding that I need to open up to letting them have that expression of their spiritual need is there without judgment. It's always in a very safe, warm environment.
Amazing. You know, you're doing such amazing work, but I'm sure you come across some common challenges that you face in your practice. So what are some of those and how do you overcome them?
There's several. Being a sole proprietor, running my own business for the last 7 years, it's the awareness of what recreational therapy is huge. I don't know if you've ever heard the analogy that the bus stops in London. If you go to London, Ontario, we're a dime a dozen. But in Windsor, it's that education piece that there's this new type of therapy. And most recreational therapists in this area work at a hospital or in a nursing home. I'm a private practice. I'm out in the community wanting to engage with everybody, but I'm competing against some of the big non-for-profit organizations. So they're doing similar things, and it's hard when I'm a for-profit, I'm a paid service. But in that, I get to really custom create my programs, and then everything is documented and assessed, and I get to give feedback to my clients in real time. So there's that. And then just the whole awareness piece. It's going to be a while and work to get some other recreational therapists. I will put a little shout out. There is a rec therapist, a new certified therapeutic rec specialist in Windsor named Ashlyn Mastro-Donardi, and she's amazing. So little shout out to her. She's someone you guys need to look for.
Oh, that's amazing. Can you share a memorable success story where recreational therapy made a difference in someone else's life?
I love the stories with my clients, but probably one of my favorite was I had a mother contact me several years ago, and she had a young 11-year-old girl that was really struggling. They were going through a divorce, and she was internalizing a lot. So when I went in the very first day, I sang to her. And I learned about her interests. And it wasn't me learning from her mom. I did get some insight. But just building that connection. And I found out very early in our meeting that she loves dogs. And I had a therapy dog that was part of my company. So I brought Caesar. And in situations where there's depression or trauma in any way, especially with young kids, they're easier to talk to a dog and pet the dog and feel like the human-animal bond is incredible.
Yeah.
And so she really built a bond with this pet. Well, he was a therapy dog. And from there, we really built our relationship. And I found out she was into crafts, so we would build little crafts where she could decide throughout the day where she was on a scale, and then her family could see. And I would coach them and teach them how to ask questions so that it wasn't an interrogation to her or she wasn't internalizing it in any way. And now this individual is in high school. She's thriving. It's so great to see her grow and get through that trauma that she was going through.
That's an amazing success story, and I love that you've had such a big impact on our community and the people that live here.
Thank you.
So how does recreational therapy contribute to overall mental health and emotional resilience?
I love this question. So recreational therapy is huge on promoting mental health and building emotional resilience in so many key ways. And one of them that most people, especially in our younger population, don't think of is stress. And how do we reduce that? Well, engaging in enjoyable activities, naturally, it'll give off the hormone of cortisol. And then when you're physically engaging, you're going to give off endorphins. And it's natural mood elevator. We also improve your self-esteem just through the activities that we do. The social connection, the cognitive benefits, those are huge too. Where we're promoting cognitive flexibility, problem solving, our executive functioning, like there's so many. But teaching kids how to communicate is probably one of the biggest for our mental health. We are coming from an era where it's no longer a play-based childhood, it's a phone-based childhood. And we have to get through and understand that that's challenging our mental health in our youth.
Oh, yes, it is.
There's addiction now to technology. Kids don't know how to talk anymore, to communicate. And play. You know what? I want to tell you something really fun. The opposite of trauma is actually play. And so teaching people how to play, teaching kids how to get off their phones and play, but also teaching the leaders, the coaches, and the adults in their lives how to play again, they're going to mirror our behavior. So we've got to put our tech down and really embrace having fun again so that they can then model that from our example. Like an ongoing joke with me is people are like, you know, what would you pick as your spirit animal? And I'm like, I'm a panda bear. Cute, cuddly, and clumsy, often getting concussions, but fun. Like if you ever watch a panda bear, they're hilarious. And that's what we need to start really instilling in our kids is that idea that what they're seeing on a screen isn't real. And especially with AI, I can't even get into that. But it's all compromising our mental health. And so let's get back to putting it away, starting to play, getting into rec and leisure, and you will see our youth start to blossom.
I love that. I do, and I really do agree that it's important to put your phone down and go out and play. But I know that it's also sometimes so difficult to put your phone down. So do you have any things that you tell your clients or the people in your life why they should put their phone down and go play? Like, get them to do that?
Absolutely. One of the things that I'm learning about is in this whole idea is I'm reading a book called The Anxious Generation. And it's all about going from a play-based childhood to a phone-based and the milestones we're not hitting. I'm not saying that technology is bad. I'm saying put it away for a little bit. Take an hour a day and go out and find something creative. And it can be you go swimming. It can be you play a board game. When's the last time you played a board game? I just did. I played backgammon yesterday. I'm constantly encouraging people to build these relationships again. Look up from your phone. We have rules at our house. No phone at dinner. Put it away. Ask fun questions to each other. Learn about each other again. People want to be seen and heard. And unfortunately, we hold so much on our phones to give us that validation that is depriving us from that internal locus that we should have in validating ourselves. and it's too much of a comparison. So put it away, get a baseball, play catch, go for a bike ride, get fresh air. You know what's coming up that's super fun that my company's starting?
What?
Virtual reality.
Oh, cool.
And especially for people who struggle and are showing dementia. Putting them with a virtual reality and having them explore different parts of the world. It's incredible.
That's beautiful.
The technology that's coming out through therapeutic recreation and the programs that are being created specifically to apply virtual reality with people. I know I'm saying get off tech, but some of it can actually be beneficial.
Thank you. That was a great answer. So how does recreational therapy work in conjunction with other therapies and medical treatments?
It's complementary. It's an integrative approach for the whole team. Our approach is a collaborative closely with other healthcare professionals, and we provide very person-centered. So we can work with a physical or occupational therapy. I had a really great incident that happened. I worked at Hotel Du Hospital, and I had a client who was a quadriplegic. It was a result of an accident. And she was very frustrated because mentally she was able-bodied. Physically, her body didn't work as well. And she used to be an artist. I worked alongside an occupational therapist to design a paintbrush that we would attach to her mouth. And then she got to explore art again. And that is the premise of recreational therapy. We just want to align ourselves with other professionals in the healthcare field and build from there. We can do anything from like neurological rehabilitation to like, hey, cardiopulmonary. How can we heal our heart? How can we help our heart? I think one of the other benefits for me is I'm also a CPR instructor. So I'm all about wellness and taking care of our heart because that's one of the most beautiful things we have. So how do we teach people eat healthy, exercise, stop smoking, and reduce your stress and do it in a fun way that half the time they don't even know that I'm observing them, that I'm right taking note. They think we're just having a great time, but I'm watching them grow.
The more you're talking, the more I'm realizing that the field of recreational therapy is actually quite vast. And there's a lot you can do with it, right? Depending on who you're working with, you can really come up with so many different kinds of ideas and ways to get them connected with the things that they love to do.
Absolutely.
So how can individuals incorporate recreational therapy principles into their own self-care routines and daily life?
I want everyone to come see me. I want to build programs with you because that gives me my creative outlet. But there are things you can do on your own. So first, just identify meaningful activities. What inspires you? What do you like to do? And then set intentional goals. Use the whole SMART method if you want to. I'm huge on advocating, we're working professionals. We need to have a work-balanced life. I want you to engage and have fun in your everyday work, but go home and explode with fun because those are your peeps. Practice mindfulness, embrace nature. We have beautiful resources in this community. You can walk trails, you can go to Ojibwe. I love Ojibwe Park. I get to see deer, they're amazing. Be a lifelong learner, not just on your phone. Go to a library and pick out a book. Listen to podcasts, listen to ours or yours. Listen and learn from people and then foster the relationships you have. Because everyone has this idea that time is in a crunch. Time is infinite. And make sure that you're socializing. We were in a pandemic and people are still feeling really disconnected. And the problem with that is we are human beings that need a sense of belonging. And if we don't have a sense of belonging, that's where our stress and anxiety goes up. And then ask for help. Look to the people in the community that can help you reach your goals. Because I hear a lot of people say, I just don't have the motivation. I don't feel it. It's hard to be stuck. I love mental health. And I always tell my friends and my students, it's okay not to be okay. But don't reside there. Reach out. Pick up that phone. Offer a smile. Hold a door. That too will nurture your inner being. Because that's what life is about, is finding who you are and then sharing that beauty with everyone else. I know that when I teach CPR, I teach this idea that people say we're so selfish in society. And I argue that we need to be self-full. And what that means is take care of your emotional, your cognitive, your spiritual, and your social well-being. And then when you're full, pour out. Consciously make an effort to share that with other people, because that ripple effect could change somebody's life. That smile can make somebody's day. Your impact here is meant to be shared.
Well said. So Melissa, what are some of your favorite self-care things to do?
So I get up every day and I walk. I love exercise. But it's all because when I was younger, I used soccer as my way of dealing with other stressors I had in my life. And then it wasn't until years later that I realized that was rec therapy. So on days that I'm hanging out with my kids, I usually have a football out. I can throw a spiral. I also have a soccer ball out. I'm trying to learn guitar. It's not going well. I've got Yankee Doodle down pretty good, but I'm pretty sure my family doesn't want to hear it anymore. I'm not very good in the art department, but I love singing. And so I sing. Music can be so therapeutic. So often you'll hear me singing or making a playlist or sharing a song with somebody. I dabble a little bit in some social media for my own downtime. But I think one of the key things is I'm probably usually going to have a book in my hand. I love just sitting down. They're not fiction. They're usually some sort of textbook. I'm a super geek. I own it. I play all day. And then when I'm not doing my self-care, I'm hanging out with my clients and teaching them how to play again.
I love that for you. You're living your best life. Mm-hmm. So what do you see as the future direction of recreational therapy? And how do you think it's going to evolve in the coming years?
I hope that we start getting covered by insurance. We are one of the only therapies that aren't, because we've only been around for about 40 years. And so we have a governing body here in Ontario, which is Therapeutic Recreation Ontario. We also have our Canadian therapeutic body. And we're always just trying to do more advocacy and awareness that we exist. And then the other part of that question is, what's coming down the pipeline? AI is here. We know it. We're embracing it to figure out what can we do with this technology to make it easier and more accessible for our clients, especially ones that have life-altering injuries, perhaps from motor vehicle accidents or whatnot. How do we get them to still engage? And then the VR, which is just an awesome tool when you can use it. And then just dismantling the idea of time and just teaching people to have fun again.
Can you explain the idea behind AI and recreational therapy a little bit more?
Of course. So imagine a future where clients use a VR headset at home to participate in a group therapy session led by a rec therapist. You get real-time biofeedback. And after a session, AI analyzes the data to suggest personalized activities for that coming week, which the therapist then can review and put into the program. So we're constantly adapting, modifying, because if we set up a goal and you don't reach it, we want to be able to make sure that there's just simple tweaks here and there, and AI is going to streamline that for us. So that's huge. Overall, I believe the future of recreation therapy is a blend of high-tech and high-touch approaches, always centered on improving the quality of life and promoting the holistic well-being. It's just going to be fun. In so many ways, we talk about AI and what's to come, and rec therapy's right in there. We got our hands in the pot saying, create something for us too, because so many people need to be able to have access to this. But we have so many people that are struggling with either their mental health or physical disabilities, and access or getting to a location can become cumbersome. This is going to be a huge opener for us. And I'm just super geeked. I'm doing a lot of research on VR right now. I'm really excited and hoping that people will reach out to me and be like, hey, can you give me a VR experience and use the rec therapy that we're learning about?
I love how recreational therapy is moving with the times, mm-hmm, rather than against it. We are coming to the end of our podcast. I just wanted to ask, before we finish, Are there any resources that you love that you want to share with our listeners today?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, me. I can be found at www.embracerec.com, and I'm here to support people right now. I'm actually open to taking new clients. That's a very personalized, efficient way of doing it. But also, you can go on different websites and follow our Rec Therapy podcast, which is a pretty awesome resource. It's called Rec Therapy Today, which discusses current trends and practices in our field. You can go under the ULTRA, which is the American Therapeutic Recreation Association, or you can also go under Therapeutic Recreation Ontario and learn about other therapists in your area, learn about the newest of the new coming up down the pipeline, and understand the advocacy, sign the petitions, get us so that we are covered by insurance so that I can reach more people.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you so much for being here today. I had so much fun listening to you tell me about recreational therapy. If any of our listeners are also interested in learning more about eating disorder services in Windsor, please find us on our socials at Banna Windsor or on our website at banna.ca. Thank you for joining us.